Good morning. Let's give God a little praise. He's worthy. We thank the Lord for being here. First, we give honor to the Spirit of Christ, our Lord Savior. Also to the angels of this house, Pastor Dave, whom I've known for a few. Just grateful to have this opportunity to stand before you this day. We know it's not easy for a pastor to leave and leave somebody that's a stranger in their house. So thank God for this opportunity. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and we do bless your great name. Once again, we come to you looking to thee and looking for you to bless this house. Bless this word, send it as you see fit by your power and by your anointing. Remember your people, O God. Let this fall on good ground, I pray. Bless it in every way, and we would ever give your name glory, honor, and the praise. We love you and we honor you today, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Our scripture is coming from Matthew 13, chapter 1 to 8 verse. And it reads thusly, the same day went Jesus out of the house, sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him. So he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spoke many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a soul went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no roots, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground, and bringeth forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who have ears to hear, let him hear. This morning, for a very brief time, we want to deal with the question, or deal with the different types of grounds, or by asking the question, what type of ground are you, or soul? We know there's two reasons that seed that is planted won't produce or grow. One, if the seed itself is bad, had gotten rotten or spoiled, or secondly, if the ground is bad. There are certain conditions that needs to be in place for producing fruit. Every seed that is planted, if it's not planted in the right condition, it will not bring forth fruit. Because God said in Genesis 1, he said, let the earth bring forth grass and herbs and yielding seed and the fruit, yielding his fruit, seed after itself upon the earth. So we know in the beginning when God spoke the word and plantations and vegetation came forth, they came forth with the ability to reproduce their own kind. So we know it was good ground that God spoke into because it produced fruit. Now, the fruit have two parts. The seed have two parts, and one is the seed coat that protects it while it's not in the ground, while it's out of the ground before you plant it, keep it from going bad or being destroyed. And then the other is the embryo, which is inside the seed, which has the capability of growing and to produce fruit. And So we know the ground is good because the ground is the medium for which the plant grows. It gives it a place to grow. It regulates the water supply, because as we know, as we've seen recently, when there's too much water, it destroys. But when there's enough water and when it rains nice and soft and comely, then it can sink into the ground and be a water source for the plant to grow when there is times like we had recently with these hot spells where we're not getting any rain and we're not getting much rain. The ground is already saturated with water, so the plant can still grow and receive water from that ground. So it's a regulatory of water. It also is a recycle of raw materials. We know that it's an ecosystem where the dead plants, dead animals, insects, and different chemicals and waste is decomposed into the ground and turned into what we call nutrients, which is another word for food. Plant can't grow without food. We can't grow without food. If we have a brand new baby and we don't feed them food, they won't grow. Amen? So the same way with a seed, when it gets in the ground, if it doesn't get food, it won't grow. It won't produce. Secondly, it's a habitat for the ground organism where it have a place to expand and to grow. So what is needed for a seed to grow? Once, it has to have air. It's got to be at the right temperature. It's got to have light. It's got to have food, which we call nutrient, because, again, as I said, if you don't eat, you don't grow. And you have to have water. And also you have to have place for it to grow. If you notice, if you take a potted plant in the house, if you got when you first seed it, you put it in a small pot. But then it'll grow to a certain size until it can't grow no more. But if you take it out of that pot and put it in a larger pot with more soil and more ground, you'll notice that it'll start growing again. So it needs a place to grow. And also it needs some time. So, but now, in this parable that we just read to you, we understand one thing is constant. It's the word of God. The seed is the word of God. So we know the word of God is always right, is always good, even when we agree with it or disagree with it. Even if we accept it or we don't accept it, the word, the seed is always the constant. It is good, and it's good all the time. Amen? All right, and now the variable in the parable is the ground. We know we have different types of ground. The first one we deal with is what we call the wayside, and that's where the ground is so hard, the seed cannot get into the ground. So what happened is when that word is sown on the wayside, the Bible says birds and the bees and the devil come and snatch it out of a person's heart because their heart is cold or their heart is hardened and they will not receive the word because they haven't made preparations to toll or plow the ground to make it plowable for growth and for seed to be planted. So many people hear the word of God but reject it and won't receive it. So, but as evangelists, as I said earlier, when we go out and we evangelize and we talk to people, we're going to meet people with different types of ground. Some of them are going to be by the wayside. And so when we go out and we meet these people that's hard-hearted, we can't take it personally because the word of God is still right. The word of God is still good. We still are obligated as Christians to go out and spread the gospel. Amen? So that's what we... But them seeds, so we know that's not going to do nothing. That don't even give a chance to grow. And because for a farmer to go out, they don't just go out on any any type of ground and without any preparation, without trying to prepare the ground for the seed that he gonna plant. You don't just go out and put it on, try not to just sow it anywhere in any condition. They try to plow the ground and get it soilable so they can take that seed, and when it's planted properly, it will grow and produce a crop. Because if it doesn't produce a crop, the farmer don't eat. So he loses his business. So he gonna take care that the ground is right. Now the second type of ground is the stony ground. This is the ground that have some earth in it. The seed is able to be planted, but it doesn't have a lot of earth. It doesn't have a lot of ground. It doesn't have the room really that it needs to grow and to take root. And that's because these are the people that receive, they hear the word and they receive it with joy. Oh yeah, I like this. And they really enjoying the word. They really growing, but they new saints. You know how we have to nurture a baby when they first born? We got to do everything for them. And eventually as they get older, we started expecting them to do certain things for themselves so they can grow. But these that fell on the stony ground didn't have enough root in them to grow to maturity. So what happened is they received it with joy. They liked what they heard. They wanted to do it. But because they had no root, they didn't meditate on the word. See, the only way you're going to get your ground properly sovereign is that you have to meditate. You have to take in the word. The word is something we're supposed to be digesting daily. We just can't eat once a week and expect to grow. So the same way with today, we live in a time where a lot of people don't have enough time to really get into the word of God properly. So and still are growing to the point where they can take some tests and trials and some tribulations, because believe me, you're going to have some. Say, in this world, you're going to have some persecution. You're not going to get through this Christian life without somebody doing something against you or something happened that you don't like. So if you don't have no root, I don't care how much joy you had when you first received the word, you're not going to stand, because it takes the meditation of the word of God to do that. And, you know, the scripture says in Philippians, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue or any praise, think on these things. So in other words, for the word of God to grow, we have to meditate on it. We have to digest it. It's a shame that we live in a society today that's so busy that they don't take time every day to pray. They don't take time today to meditate. They don't take any time to read the word of God. Now, they got cell phones, and we got a Bible app on the cell phone. So it's not like you don't have the Bible available in many different versions and things. But the thing is, we too busy on social media. We too busy on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and all these other things that we don't really have time to meditate on the word. So therefore, we never take root. So when persecution comes, so when people comes against us, when we're trying to live a life and we don't understand why things are happening the way we are, where they are, we fall away by the wayside. And we don't produce like we should have been able to. They receive the word with gladness, but when suffering comes, and nobody likes to suffer. Nobody likes to be disliked. Nobody likes to be talked about. Nobody likes to be mistreated. Nobody likes not to have and to lack. But sometimes that's all part of God's plan to grow us. Because sometimes in persecution, we learn how to really grow in God. We really learn whether or not we really love God. You know, some people say, if your husband or your wife say, I love you, and they can say it every day, but every time they see you, they hit you side of the head. Or every time they see you, they kick you in the butt. Or every time they see you, they saying something negative about you. It's pretty hard to think they love you. So sometimes when things start going against us, sometimes we think God has deserted us. But he hasn't. He's always there. He's always in control. And whatever happens to us is there for a reason and a purpose. I've learned long in life that when things go sour and don't go my way, I say, I don't understand this. But one thing I do understand, that God still is in control. Amen? And we need that in our lives today. But you're not going to get it when you don't have a lot of earth and you don't have no roots in God. In the thorny ground, they don't grow because you know how it is. You know how easy it is for the weeds and the wild grass to grow when you try to grow flowers or you try to grow a vegetable garden. You got to weed it. You got to do this. But they don't need nothing. No, sometimes they don't look like they need rain. they just grow up everywhere. They're easy to grow. But they there not because we want them there, not because they came a good seed. They there because a lot of times the adversary puts things in our ways and he doesn't want us to grow. His whole idea, see, people today, we fight against each other. We talk about each other. We fight this denomination, that. But that's not the problem. The enemy is not us. The enemy is the devil. And he's doing everything he can to make sure we don't take root. Because he know once we take root, and once we really get to rolling and really get to love God like we should, he know we're going to be productive and we're going to have an effect on our environment. There's no such thing as a Christian going in an environment that's toxic and we don't make it better. See, we have the Holy Spirit abiding in us, and we have the love of Jesus in us, then we should make any situation better instantly when we come. Because we good ground. We represent Christ because we Christians, Christ-like. Amen? But when we act just like everybody else, we talk as bad as everybody else talk, we use the same language as everybody else use, then we're not going to be producing Christ-like fruit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, goodness, and gentleness. These are the kind of things we're supposed to be producing. I'm supposed to be able to say, I love you as I love myself. Two things God said when they asked the question, what are the greatest commandments of all? Jesus said unto them, say, first of all, you got to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and spirit. Then you have to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, what John said, he said, how can you love God whom you never seen and hate your brother who you see every day? And John was pretty bold. He said, and remember, this is what John said. He said, you're a liar. You know how people get offended when you call them a liar, especially straight up to their face? But that's what John did. He said, if you don't love your brother or your neighbor, you don't love God. I put it like this. You only love God as much as you love your worst enemy. Is that clear? Only love God as much as you love your worst enemy. So I can't get to the place and grow to the place where I love my enemies like I love myself, then I'm not going to produce the fruit that God wants out of my life. So the thorny ground is where people would grow, but all of a sudden they let the cares of this life, riches, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word and it become unfruitful. We're all of a sudden we concerned about this, we concerned about this, we concerned about that, but the main thing we leaving behind, that is the word of God. That is the seed. The seed is the word. Some people start strong and have the potential to grow, to produce a great harvest, but they let other things deter them. After a while, Christ is put on a second burner, back burner. One thing you need to know about my God, he takes second place to no one. He don't accept second. When you run a race, you're going to have second, third, or fourth. But when you deal with God, there's no second place. Either he's first or he's nowhere in your life. That's kind of strong, but that's the truth. Amen? So the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. So we have to seek God's kingdom first. What do you want, God? Where are you in this picture? How can I represent you better than I have been? How can I be a light in this dark world? If we ever needed light in the world, we need it now. If we ever need true Christians to shine and to show forth the fruit of the Spirit, it is now. Because we're living in a time where things are going haywire. There's so much hate. There's so much violence and so much this and that, discord, people on this side, so much division, so much people hating each other. And like I said earlier, the sad part about it, I'm talking about in the church, in the house of God. If anywhere we should be one, it should be here. If anywhere we should be loving our brothers and sisters, it should be in the house. God gave us the answer. He said, if my people will call by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven, I'll heal your land, and I'll forgive your sins. So my question is on that, how come with all these churches we got here in America, with all the Christians everywhere, How come we're in the downward spiral in this country that we're in? How can we allow all these things that's going on to happen when we got within us the ability to fast, to pray, to humble ourselves, and to change things? God promised if we did this, his body, his people, we're not expecting the people that don't know God, the people out there in the world, but those in the household of faith, we are expecting them. He is expecting us to humble ourselves and pray so things will change. But unfortunately, the devil has worked his little way into many of our houses, and people have got off course, because whenever you get out of the word of God, when you leave this seed, then you're going to go astray, because we need this every day. I need to be enlightened by the Spirit every day. Then we have the final is the good ground. This is where a person hear the word, they understand it. They bring forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. They bring forth the word of God, producing fruit that God can be pleased with, that God can use in his kingdom. Now, what makes ground good? First, it had to be prepared, like I said. Got to be cleaned up. You got to get rid of all the stones, debris, sticks, trash, weeds. It's got to be plowed so the seed to have a place to gurgitate and to grow. It's got so it can breathe, so it can take in food and moisture. So Corinth said that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good works and increasing in the knowledge of the Lord. Psalms say, those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And he said, against such there is no law. So we have to have the word. If we're going to be good fruit-producing Christians, first of all, we got to receive the word. We got to prepare our ground or our heart to receive the word, and we got to let it penetrate into our thinking and who we are. We got to let it change us from the inside out so we become a new creature in God. And one thing, and we're concluding, that out of death came life. Jesus Christ came, took on flesh, suffered, died, beaten, spit on, talked about, scourged, whipped, till his flesh was bloody, strips, marched up on Golgotha Hill and hung on a cross and gave up his life, went to death for us. He didn't sin. He didn't do anything wrong. There was no malice or guile in him at all from the day he was born to the day he died on the cross. But as he was hanging on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, because they do not know what they do. And how many of us, when people do us wrong, we call ourselves sicking God on them? God, get them. They did this to me. They know it wasn't right. They know I didn't deserve that. Take care of them, God. No, we don't do that. We forgive and forget. So he died, and he was buried, and he rose again. So he lives, and the song said, because he lives, I live. I can face tomorrow because he lives. Because he died to live. He didn't die for himself. He died for us. He died so we could live, but not live any kind of life. He didn't die so we could just do whatever we want. And we say, oh, grace understands. Yeah, grace understands, but grace is not a license to sin. We still have a standard. Believe it or not, we still have a standard. That standard goes for young people, goes for teenagers, goes for young adults. It goes for older adults, and it goes for seniors like me. It's still the standard of holiness is the same. God requires us to love him and to love our neighbors. So he died. And one thing we need to know in that conclusion is that when the seed is planted with the coat, after it receives some water and it starts growing inside the coat, the only way it's going to produce fruit if that coat dies or be shed. So it had to die to allow the seed to grow. It's the same way with us. We have to die to ourselves. We got to die daily. Paul said, I die daily. I buffet and put my body under suggestion because I got to fight. Because believe it or not, the flesh really, even though when you're saved and even though you feel with the Spirit, the flesh don't die. We have to kill it and put it under every day. And the only way we can grow in the Spirit if we let the flesh die. If we hold on to our flesh, if we hold on to our feelings, if we hold on to what we think is right or wrong. You know, because some people set up in church and they hear certain things, they want to pick and choose what they take. But this is not a smorgasbord. This is not, you know, go up to the buffet or Burger King, have it your way. You have to take what is set before you. Whatever it is, let's face it, and sometimes it's tough. The Word of God can get tough. Sometimes we don't want to do right. I know sometimes, I'm going to speak for myself. Sometimes I don't want to do right. But I have to yield to that and put that flesh under so I can produce fruit. If I don't produce fruit and I don't be the light of God, how is this world going to change? How are people going to come? People not going to come to a church where when they come, they feel unwanted, or they feel different, or they feel they separated, or they feel that, you know, they did too much and they shameful and people turning, snubbing. No, that's why it's important for a church to be friendly, important to greet people, because we don't know what state a person come in when they come into the house of God. And we know they might be in a vulnerable position where they might be just ready to give their heart to God. And what's more important than a soul that's unsaved giving our life to Christ? That's our purpose. The church purpose is not just to have fellowship, sing songs, and give praises to God. Our purpose is so we can draw the unsaved to be saved, to change somebody's life that's going through, and that they will understand that God is still on the throne, that God is who he say is. So let us be good ground. And I know it says some 100, some 30, and some 60, but I want to strive to be that 100, because I want to be all that God had created me to be. When I get up to heaven to meet God, I want to be say like the sports people say, I left it all on the field. I didn't leave no stone unturned. I did everything I could within my power and with the power of the Holy Ghost to do what God wanted me to do. Problem is, in this day and time, people love their self more than they love God. Now, people love God, but they love their self more. But we have to get to the place where we love God more than we love ourselves. Amen? I hope somebody got something from this. And then I'm done. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for this word. We thank you for those that heard this word. I pray that they would take it, meditate upon it, think about it, and try to, whatever ground they are, to get to good ground, that they can produce some fruit that will bring a harvest of souls to you. We live in an evil world. We live in an evil time. So much evil, so much violence, so much division. Lord, help us be one to help bring stability and oneness in your body. Bless this house, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.